hear the word of the Lord as it is written in Malachi chapter 3 from verse 13 to chapter 4 verse 6. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubborn, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. And you will go out and leap like calves released from the stall. Then you will trample down the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the Lord, my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we are coming to the end of Malachi. Sure, one or two of you may say, whew, that's a relief. Because it's been a very big challenge to us, hasn't it? Now, just for a moment, because tonight will be the wrap-up, what have we seen in the previous three chapters? We've noticed that Malachi was preaching in a day of alarming spiritual decline. That's the main thing. And if you look for one word that would give us the thrust of Malachi, then you would say that he was calling God's people to the point of rededication. That's what he's doing. Renewing their love for God. He preached in a day that was marked with lots of religion. The people were going to the temple, they were offering the sacrifices, many of them sometimes were even crying in their prayers. But it wasn't from the heart. It was a religion that was barren. And so this man begins to preach. We have shared it with you that, to put it into the historical times, he predates the book of Chronicles. He predates the men of Ezra, Nehemiah, and of Esther, and he writes 60 years after the completion of the temple. Remember this morning I reminded you that the The main things that marked the day of Malachi were discontentment, disillusionment, and decline. And these backsliding people came continually to God and said, but there was nothing wrong. And what we saw last Sunday in chapter 2 was God said there are two evidences of how far you've wandered away. The one was the fact that they had broken their covenant relationship with God. The Lord Jesus was no longer the center of their lives. God was no longer the reason for living. It was other things. Other things were more important than God. Other people were more important than God. They hadn't thrown God out, but God was down the line. So they had broken their covenant with God, but not only that, they had broken their covenant with their marriage partners. So God says, but look at your marriages. Look at the situation at home. Just look how you live at home. Both evidences that they had wandered very, very far away from God. The aspect of their giving was another aspect. God says to them, you're robbing me. They say, but how can you say such a hard thing? God says, you no longer bring your tithing and you no longer bring your offering. And so it was a situation of absolute sadness. Spiritually, the people were far away. And then what did we see this morning? That lovely picture, friends, where Malachi says, now God is going to visit you. And before he comes, he's going to send a messenger. So Malachi prepared the way for John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was going to come and prepare the way for Jesus. And once John had done that, the Lord Jesus was going to come. And so when you go through Malachi, these are the threads. A backslidden people, a hard-hearted people, a cold spiritual people. But Malachi then brings us back towards the end of the book, and he says, but you must look to the future. Jesus is going to come. Now, friends, tonight, what we are going to have a look at are just three things. A silly thing happened. It may laugh a little bit, but I remember when I finished school and we had to go and do our training, and I was sent to the 6th South African Infantry down in Gravestown. And my cousin said to me, before you go, he just said to me these words. He said, Warwick, on the first day, they're going to ask you, who's got driving licenses? Just put up your hand. Say you've got one and it'll make you a driver. Because that's the best position in the army. Now, I didn't know anything about military affairs. So I went there and sure enough, I waited. And my cousin was right. The officer commanding says, who's got a driving license? I was 17. I was just out of school. I hardly knew how to switch a car on. Yes, sir. I have. And I shot to the front. He said, you're a driver. I said, thank you, sir. That's what I want to be. He said, now drive a Bedford. I said, wait, sir. I need to learn. But that was the start. And you know what? I want to tell you, friends, I don't want to digress, but it was the best decision I made. Because when the riflemen were doing guard duty, I was a driver. When the drivers were doing their routines, I was a rifleman. So I ducked and dived for 9 wonderful months. And had the time of, I loved it. I want to tell you, I loved it. Not all the political things, don't worry about that. The real thing is, I enjoyed it. But you know what I learned? Was that there's so many divisions. They divided us into this and they divided us into that. Later on when we leave, we get into the world, and that's what people do. People divide each other into groups. The rich, the poor, the black, the white, this group, that group, this group, that group. But you know the lovely thing tonight is that God doesn't do that. In the eyes of God, there are only two groups of people. And that's where Malachi closes. All that God sees is not your education, not your color, not what you've done here, there, or wherever. All that God looks for is, are you saved or are you unsaved? Now tonight, my friends, I really want you to come with me. It is a very, very challenging conclusion to Malachi. It's going to help you see things in a different perspective. How do you gauge people? How do you determine who is successful and who's not successful? How do you determine who is doing well, who is not doing well? How do we know who is important to God or not? So we're going to be showing you tonight, why do we serve God? And remember these two groups, and then we're going to wrap it up. Right, let's move on to number one, if we may. And have a look at the first group who charged that serving God is useless. Okay, let's follow with me in the Bible now. Look at verse 13 to verse 15. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? Now, isn't that tragic? You see, here's a group of people who have wandered away from God. And when you come to these people and you call them to a close relationship with Jesus, and you share with them the requirements that are laid down in the Bible by way of walking with Jesus, do you know what they say to you? Let's move down the outline. They come by way of unbelief. And that is what they said. It's crazy, they said. You are asking us to follow God, but you know what? It's useless. We gain nothing. That's what they were saying. We gain nothing. This is the climax of Malachi. We saw in chapters 1, 2, and 3 of certain of their accusations and of their feelings towards God. But now we're getting right to the heart of the matter. And the heart of the matter is that the unbeliever says, I'm sorry. I'm believing God and I'll follow God, but I'm not going to go all the way. Do you know why? Because I get nothing out of it. So for example, it mustn't surprise you when you hear people saying, do you go to church? And they say to you, no, I don't go to church. I used to go to church. Why don't you go anymore? I get nothing out of it. Heard people say that? Well, don't worry. They said it in Malachi's day. But it's an old thing. You see, because that's how the secular mind thinks. That's how the person without Jesus thinks. The only concern that they have got is, what do I get out of it? They will never ask, what can I put into it? How can I improve it, or how can I become part of it? That doesn't enter their minds. You see, the accusation is, we get nothing. It's all me, 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 me. And isn't that our society? It's a very self-centered society. It really is. Everybody's in, what do I get out of it? What is in it for me? What will I benefit? The Christian doesn't think like that. We're going to see that in a minute. The Christian's different. We go now and we say, what would please Jesus? How can I give? How can I serve? But these people were saying, no ways. No ways I'm going to go further, because we get nothing. I hope none of you have ever said that. a very selfish, a very self-centered, a very worldly, a very secular, a very materialistic attitude to have, revealing the real state of the heart, we gain nothing. The second thing that they were coming by way of accusation was they went a step further and they even said the arrogant are blessed. Now you and I may be tempted to that, hey friends? So you see some extremely wealthy person and you say, wow, they are fortunate. They've got so much money. Just look at me, I'm battling to pay the telephone. The light and water, my kid's going to school, I'm going to battle with school fees. Just look at these folks. They don't go to church, they don't love Jesus, they don't read the Bible, but look how much money they've got. They're very, very privileged. I want to tell you they're not. We're going to come to that in a minute. Spiritually speaking, they may be desperate. Because to be without Jesus is a very sad situation. But here were these people, their hearts were not right, so their priorities were wrong, their thinking was wrong, it was a self-centered way of living, they saw things sadly, they evaluated things wrongly, and they went one step even further, and they said, evil is not punished. Evil is not punished. In fact, there are many evil people, they were saying, that go unpunished, and in fact, they may be very prosperous. Now, that is the first group of people that you and I are going to come into contact with tomorrow. Guys at school, you're going to meet them at school. You're going to meet them at varsity, you're going to meet them in the office, you're going to meet them in your neighbors next door to you. Their thinking is materialistic. Their thinking is secular. Their thinking is very self-centered. Never focusing on God. Never thinking how I can serve God. Never mentioning these things because they are lost and without God. So there are these people, that's number one. Now let's move on to number two. And let's have a look at the second group. And from verse 16 to 18, we are introduced by Malachi to a totally different group of people. And it's lovely to read about them. They are totally different. They've got a totally different way of living. They've got a totally different mindset. They've got a totally different set of priorities. They've got everything is different. Let's have a look at them. What are their characteristics? Well, there are three. The first thing, says Malachi, is they fear the Lord. Here's number one. You see, my brothers and sisters, we touched on that this morning. This is what happens when people no longer fear God. Remember what you saw today, this morning? If you no longer fear God, there's nothing wrong with sorcery. Remember we saw that? So you'll play your horoscopes, you won't mind popping along to a fortune teller, you'll play just for fun of it, this glassy thing, black magic, all the witchcraft things. You see, you'll do it. You'll read that stuff. You'll see a gypsy on the side of the corner and one mind popping into their caravan to have your palm read. Why do people do that? The reason, says Malachi, is because they don't fear the Lord. Same with adultery. Why do people commit adultery? Because they don't fear the Lord. What will drive a man to sleep with his girlfriend outside of marriage? The simple reason is that there is so much sexual immorality today because they don't fear the Lord. Where there's a fear of God, it changes one's lifestyle.
It's the same with perjury and all of those things that Malachi has touched on. So my brothers and sisters, the first characteristic of a real child of God is that they've put their faith in Jesus, they've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, they've been born again by His Spirit. To use the theological terms, they've been imputed with His righteousness. But how do you see that? Malachi says you will see it in the way that they live. They live in the fear of God. That's how they live. So our dear old friend Matthew Henry put it like this. This is the beginning of wisdom. It's the root of all religion. We reverence the majesty of God. We submit to His authority. We submit to His laws. We submit to His word. And we have a great dread of His judgment in all that we think and say. And so they humbly comply with God and they never speak words against Him. Somebody who's been saved at school, you'll see it. It will stand out clearly. They have a fear of the Lord. Now, just quickly, I know you know this, but just to clarify it, this is not a terror of God, it's an awe and a reverence. They go through life and they say, I never want to do anything to hurt Jesus. Would Jesus be pleased with what I'm going to do? Would Jesus be pleased with what I'm saying? Would Jesus be pleased with how I'm spending my money? Would Jesus be pleased with my relationships? Would Jesus be honored with my lifestyle? I've chatted to people before, you have as well. They've wanted to come to Christ. I said, my friend, if you want to come to Jesus, it's the most wonderful thing in the world. But you must know, if you want to come to Jesus, you've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross and follow me. That's the cost. It's total. It's all or nothing. The world says, half. Jesus says, no. And Malachi is exposing so much of a lukewarm, half-hearted religion. When the characteristics of those who have really put their faith in the coming Jesus is that they fear the Lord. What's the second wonderful characteristic? They talk with each other. It's a lovely phrase, isn't it? Verse 16. They talked with each other. You see, they loved fellowship. They keep together. They enjoy the fellowship of believers. And so when they meet, they speak kindly and endearingly to one another. They encourage love among one another. There's accountability with one another. They build up one another from the scriptures. They speak of Jesus. They speak of God. And they enjoy the fellowship together. You see, a non-believer won't enjoy fellowship. So they go to as little as possible. The reason why they do go to as little as possible is because they know that when they talk together, their lifestyles are going to be exposed. But a real Christian, friends, loves believers. You love believers. Now when you're traveling, you always look for a church. Doesn't matter where you are, you always look for a church and you'll find somebody who loves Jesus. You'll find a church somewhere or another, doesn't matter what the denomination is, you'll find a church, you'll find believers. Oh, that's a lovely mark, you see. They fear the Lord, they talk together, and what's the third one? They honor His name. Says Malachi, they love to do that. They love to honor God. They love to honor Jesus. That's what they live for. Not for myself, not for my gains, not for my enjoyment, not my success. All they live for is that my Savior and my Jesus is honored in all that we do. See the two groups? That's all God looks at. There are only two groups. The one group, are those who said you're still unsaved, still worldly and secular in their thinking. There's no fear of the Lord. There's no talking together. There's no honoring God. And so they will say to us, "Ach, no, hold on, I'm not ready for this yet. I don't get much out of it. I'm too busy. I've got too involvement. I'm tied up here. I'm tied up there." That's fine. But your lifestyle exposes your heart. That's what Malachi says. Well, what are the results? Let me encourage you. Isn't this lovely? Isn't it fantastic studying the Bible, huh? Malachi is so rich, isn't it? So what are the results of those who really walk with Jesus? There are just two. Look at verse 16. The first result that it tells us is that God remembers His own. He says, "A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name." I'm so glad that that's in the Bible. It really is terrific. It's an expression that reminds us that all that we do and all those weak affections are kept in remembrance by God as punctually and particularly as if they were written in a book. Never was any word spoken for God when it was not registered. Never was anything done for God when it was not registered. God remembers His own. Aren't you glad to hear, to read that? God knows. God remembers. People may not remember. People may not appreciate. People may not understand. But that doesn't matter. Jesus does. He remembers. And the second wonderful result on your outline is that God spares His own. See verse 17 and 18. "They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them." Just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. See verse 18. "You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not." You know what that's saying, dear brothers and sisters? It says, I said at the start of our sermon, it's a very challenging passage. You will see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. What is Malachi saying? He's reminding us of something, if I may say that to you lovingly and gently, that we seldom hear. See, we stop at a robot sometimes and you read on the sticker of a car, "Smile, God loves you." Say, well, by God's grace, that's true, but that's not the whole picture. Tell the truth. The other side of that sticker should read, "But one day, there is going to be a day of judgment." That's what Malachi is saying. Do you know what, dear friends? Malachi is reminding us that on that final day, when the Lord Jesus does come back and the books are opened and the lives are judged, you and I will see the distinction. may be people that our world bows and scrapes to. Some great professors, some wonderful politicians. Everybody thinks unbelievable. Some great scientist, some great philosopher, some marvelous person with some discovery. Stand before Jesus. The books are opened. And their name's not in the book. And they go to hell. Somebody stands before Jesus. So insignificant. Nobody thought much of them. Not very bright, not very famous, not very successful, not very this, that, and the other. But oh, they loved Jesus. They loved God. They spent time with God. The book was opened. Well done. Well done. Come, you blessed of my Father. They are taken into heaven. Why? Because they put their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and their lifestyle backed it up. So as Malachi draws this book to an end, it does remind us that this world is divided. There are those who do not know and follow Christ, and there are those who do. Let me close with the last point, number 3. As he comes to chapter 4 and verses 1 to 6, and he then speaks of this coming day of the Lord. Surely, says Malachi, the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evil doer will be stubble. That day is coming, which will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you, who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. You will go out and you will leap like calves released from the stall. You will trample down the wicked and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I do these things, says the Lord Almighty. What do we notice as we slowly wind it all up for you? Well, the first thing you notice there in verse 1 is Malachi again tells us on the day of judgment what is to happen to the unsaved. The Bible tells me it will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble on that day. Kyle and Dalich in their commentary said, the day of judgment will be to the ungodly like a burning fire. A fire burns more fiercely in a furnace than in the open air. Do you believe that, my friend? I want to tell you it's hard to preach that. I know some lovely people. We play golf with them. We run with them. They're lovely people. But I want to tell you with love and grace that this is what's going to happen to them. Because in spite of all that we've sought to do, they've still never yet come to Christ. And I say to them, dear friend, one day
your life is going to end. This world is going to end. There'll be no more aeroplanes flying in the sky, no more trains, no more taxis, no more school, no more varsity, no more married life. The end of the world has come because Jesus has arrived. And people are going to stand before Jesus and their lives are going to be judged. And if those people have never put their faith in Christ, and if they've never lived a life honoring to Jesus Christ, it's going to be compared to being in a furnace. It's an apocryphal story, I know that. But it still has an amazing story for me. His name was George Peace. He had committed a very serious thing and was sentenced to death, and he was going along the road to the gallows, and the chaplain was reading to him from the Bible, and suddenly he stopped the chaplain and he said to the chaplain, "Sir, do you believe what you're reading?" He said, "Yes, son, I do." He said, "I want to tell you, sir, if the whole of England was covered with broken glass, I would walk across the whole of England barefoot to save one person. Thank you." Malachi tells his people, going to happen. You've played with God. You've played with religion. And the day of reckoning is coming. I can't explain it more than that. But what's the second thing? See the contrast? Look in verses 2 and 3 to those who have walked with Jesus. What is it going to be like for them? Isn't that a lovely word? See the first word in verse 2. But. See, verse 1 is the unbeliever. But verse 2, the believer. Says, "For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, and you will go out and you will leap like calves released from the stall." And isn't that going to be true? On the final day when we stand before Jesus and we see our sins are forgiven and he says to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, come." And he takes us home into heaven. Oh my friends, what is that going to be like? We're going to be with Jesus and we're going to be with all our loved ones who have known and loved Jesus Christ. It's going to be a glorious thing. We're going to leap with joy. The Lord Jesus is going to shine upon us. The day of judgment is not to be feared. It's something that will usher us into our home in heaven. Oh, that's what awaits the child of God. God will then give them their reward for all their faithfulness and all their love. They will receive their healing. Their new bodies, all mental hurts gone, all emotional hurts gone, and home in heaven, not because of anything they've done, but because of their trust in the finished work of the Messiah that Malachi had been telling them about. Wow. A judgment on the unsaved. But the triumph of the believer. And so Malachi closes his book by challenging them to keep the law of Moses and to look forward to the coming work of Elijah, which was going to be summarized as we saw this morning in the work of John the Baptist. As he was going to come and prepare the way for Jesus. And so Malachi closes. And now there was going to be a gap, silence, of 400 years.
After Malachi, 400 years until Matthew,
who tells us that this Jesus has come. Oh, my friends, as we just close this evening, we finished Malachi, the heart desire for me and for you as we go into a new year, is that you start 2006 with Jesus at the very, very center of your life. The one who brings you joy is Jesus. The one you live for is for Christ. The one that you will die for is for the Lord. We live for Him and to tell others about Him. That's our life's work until Christ calls us home. And I want to wrap it up by urging you this evening, each one of us, let's heed what Malachi has said. Let's examine one's own heart and put our trust in the one that Malachi looks forward to, the Messiah, God's messenger, the one who came for sinners, and let's allow that Jesus to rule our lives. Oh, my friend, have you really come to Him? Really?